Yes, greetings to you all in Jesus' name. This is Daniel King from Mannheim. I'd just like to continue here with the theme of yesterday as far as what kind of faith will follow us through. In other words, what kind of faith, what is the type of faith as we study the disciples? It's interesting when you look at it in that perspective. You know, if you study the human race, you soon start noticing that people, I know some of these psychiatrists, I guess you would call it, have come up with different categories of people. And I've never been too big and keen and all those things, but I have to admit that that a lot of that is true. People really, in other words, there's a scripture that says there's nothing new under the sun. And when it really comes down to it, the human, all of the human race, both inside and outside of Christianity, can be categorized. And I find it interesting to look at the disciples and to just look at some of the different characters and some of the different things that the disciples had in their nature and how it affected them when calamity came. In other words, every time at the point of calamity, we discover that what's really deep, deep in us will come to the surface. And I was just recently thinking of Thomas and how he struggled and struggled with unbelief and faith. He just struggled with that and how that shows up. You know, here in John 20, verse 24, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, was with them when Jesus came, and the other disciples therefore said unto him, Thomas was not with them. Then the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, they were together. And this time Thomas was with them. And then all of a sudden Jesus appeared, and he said, peace be unto you. And then he turned to Thomas, and he said, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And then he goes on to say, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And I find it interesting. I sort of wish I would have studied this a little bit more. But if you do a word search on the word Thomas, and you study his life, if you study how he responded in many situations, you can start picking up that Thomas actually struggled with unbelief. That was part of his natural, it was against his natural ability. And I'd just like to encourage us here this morning that regardless of what we might call the bosom sin or that thing that is so hard for us to overcome, all of us have that. All of us have things that we're naturally strong in, naturally weak in. But I'd just like to say as we struggle through these things, as Thomas struggled through this thing of faith, for Thomas, it had to make sense. For Thomas, he had to see it. Thomas had a hard time with the supernatural because the supernatural to him, it seemed too much like a wide open field that could be anything from here to there. I mean, once you're talking about the supernatural, things you cannot see, it's almost like you're being thrust out into space where there is no up or down or back. And I mean, what are the parameters here? I can just see Thomas asking that question. So we're going to enter into the supernatural. We're going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and we're not allowed to see it. Okay, so we're going to believe just a report from my brothers. That's all I have. Just a report from James and John and a few others. I'm going to have to see it. I'm going to have to know for myself. I can't just write off the reports of my brothers. You know, I can just imagine him asking these questions or reasoning to himself. And the other thing he probably thought of, well, since I'm supposed to believe something that has never really happened in the past, since the way I saw Jesus, he was a man. I mean, he ate like everyone else. He walked, he slept, he got tired. He did supernatural things, but he was a man as far as I'm concerned. He had a name, he had a mother, he had a father. But in Thomas's eyes, he had a little bit of difficulty seeing Jesus as supernatural. Someone who could operate outside the parameters of the physical life. And for Thomas, it had to make sense. He had to be able to see it on paper. He had to be able to, you know, draw parameters and say, well, it fits into this box or this mold. And once you take the Thomases, the people, you know, like Thomas, which I'm not exempt from that myself, once you take those people out into space to where all of a sudden things don't have parameters, I mean, it could be anything. It just seems to Thomas that doesn't make sense. But what actually happens when we step out in faith, we start noticing patterns that God's ways do have parameters. God's ways do have absolutes, and they're often different than what we would take them for at first glance. But I think that that's where Thomas was struggling. He had to touch. To him, he had to see. To just let go and let someone else be in charge here, to where there was no direct connection, but it was just a faith connection, was a struggle for Thomas. And I'm just so encouraged that every one of these disciples, as they struggled through the things that naturally were weak to them became their strength. And, you know, in later years, we can read that Thomas ended up going all the way to India and there gave his life. And, you know, I can't really read that for many of the other disciples. I don't know where they all went, but it seemed like as far as physical distance and entering into a culture that was different than what he grew up in, it seemed like Thomas went the furthest in that way. And that just really blesses me to see Thomas going from someone who liked everything secure, everything had to make sense, everything had to be in a box, so to speak. And to see him then go so far with his faith in Jesus Christ, all the way to India, adapt to a new culture, adapt to a new ways of life and a whole new people group that was not common there in the Middle East. A people group that was even way outside of what his forefathers knew. I mean, his faith took him far. And that just really blesses me this morning to see that what we're weak in, what I'm weak in today, if I give God a chance with that thing, he can come in and do a complete overhaul. In other words, sometimes the more broken something is, the better the overhaul, the better the reconstruction, you know. And I don't want to take that thought too far, but it just seems that some of the things, as we study the life of the disciples, that the very things that they were weakest in is the very things that they were strongest in then after Pentecost. And a lot of the disciples had some, you know, I can't imagine how Thomas would have felt. Here he was one of the 12, was one of the inner circle, and he was basically saying, I'm not going to believe until I see. And Jesus, in his kindness, did show himself to him and come to him. But I can't imagine on the other side of Pentecost how foolish that must have felt to be that stuck up, so to speak, to where he's saying, nope, I'm going to have to see it for myself. I'm not going to take the report of my brothers. Faith oftentimes has to do with not only faith in God, but faith in our brothers. And that's the real test. A lot of us would say, well, I have faith in God. I just don't trust my brother, you know. And one of the real tests of faith is when we trust the work that God is doing in our brothers. I had an experience here recently when I was struggling with continuing to relate to this one brother that I had been meeting with. I just thought he's not my type of Christian. He was a little bit more liberal than what I was comfortable with. And I was meeting with him, and we were just, you know, speaking into each other's lives. And one morning I was just especially struggling with this. But I knew in some areas that he had something that I didn't have. But yet, it was this whole thing of, well, I'm not sure where this is going to go to. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. It was sort of outside of what I was comfortable with. And I remember one morning as I was meeting with this person, was just struggling with this, and I walked out the door, and I heard God speak clearly, not physically and audibly, but just that clear. And what God said is, be not afraid to meet with this man, for what is in him is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And then I thought of the words that God gave to Joseph when he saw that his espoused or his engaged, or the woman he was engaged to was expecting, and fear came over him. And then an angel came to him and said, be not afraid, Joseph, to take Mary for your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I can just, those words just washed over me that morning. Yes, that's really the difference. Is the Holy Ghost in my brother? And I think that's where Thomas erred. I think he was basically saying, nope, I'm not going to believe it unless God, you know. So sometimes God wants us to be okay with things that are being done through and spoken through our brothers that we can see are conceived of the Holy Ghost. So God bless you this morning.